afternoon. Welcome to the Peter Mac Show. I'm your host, Peter McCandless. Today is March 12th, 2003. Spring is upon us here in Kansas City. It's a nice sunny day out there after we've had a pretty brutal February. This is a show dedicated to the promotion of individual rights as exemplified in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. But it's also the show that's been focused primarily upon the fraudulent misapplication of the federal income tax. And along that line, I have been offering now for a year on this show and about 8 months on my website for any tax professional to come on this show and answer six specific questions regarding the determination of taxable income. Those six questions are posted on my website, petermacshow.com, on the lower left side, and the rules whereby a tax professional would earn $2,000 simply for coming on the air and answering those six questions any way he or she feels is appropriate based upon their understanding of the law. They simply have to be willing to state their name, of course, where they work, their credentials, and be willing to be cross-examined by none other than myself or my special guest today, who is, of course, Larkin Rose. Larkin has been on this show 16 times previously. He is the author of a video entitled Theft by Deception, and that video has been out for almost 2 years now. We're going to do a public showing of that somewhere in the Overland Park area in about a month and a half. I just got a call from a gentleman out there who wants to show it, I believe, in the Johnson County Library. So if you have not seen that video, you can see a public showing of it in about a month and a half or so, or you can purchase it at the KCXL bookstore at just off the Independence Square in Independence, Missouri. You can call them at 836-7474. You can also purchase it directly from Larkin's website, which is theftbydeception.com. So, again, any tax professional that would like to come on here and take a shot at these six questions, we're still waiting for someone to do so. A tax professional is defined as the CPA, tax attorney, enrolled agent, or IRS revenue agent or higher. So, Larkin, thank you once again for coming on the Peter Mac Show, and maybe you would just want to recap for anybody that doesn't really know what the issue is, you know, in your nice way of abbreviating it, what the topic is that we're going to get into.
Sure. Thanks for having me on again. I try to make this summary shorter each time,
right,
so the people who already know what we're talking about don't have to sit through too much. Basically, it's this. The federal income tax laws themselves are perfectly valid and constitutional and all that, but what the law itself actually shows to be taxable is almost exclusively income from international trade. Like if you're an American who has foreign source income or a non-resident alien who's getting income from doing business in the States, things like that. There's a few other things, but mainly, unless you're engaged in international commerce of some kind, your income does not show up in the income tax, in the federal income tax laws as being taxable. And again, this isn't a protest or it's unconstitutional or a complaint or anything of the sort. It's just based on what the law itself says.
Right.
And so that's, I think that's the shortest summary ever.
Right.
And for a ridiculously long summary, for free, you can go to taxableincome.net. And download a taxable income report, which explains the same thing in about 60 pages.
Right. And so all the information in your video is really contained in that report, isn't it?
Right, right. The video is mainly designed to be a more easier to digest because it uses, you know, visual representation. Reading 60 pages about the law can be rather boring no matter what the subject is. But, yeah, all the same citations and logic and all that is covered in the report, which is for free.
Right. Now, Larkin, you know, in our previous shows, we've gone through in a number of shows all the attempts by you and me and countless other people to get the government to respond, for example, to the six questions I have posted on my website. And of course, they refuse to respond or they write back answers that don't answer the questions at all. And you have been through some recent activity in which you've tried to get the government to respond. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I sort of think that the theme today could be the government is scared to death of publicity on
right.
this. And recently I was in court. It was a fairly trivial point being decided. Last May, the IRS did an armed invasion of my home. Didn't charge me with anything, didn't arrest me or anything, but stole 200 copies of the Theft by Deception video under the guise of a search warrant. Well, recently there was a hearing where I sought to unseal what's called an affidavit of probable cause, which is a federal agent has to sign a thing and give it to a magistrate showing that they have probable cause to believe that evidence of a crime exists somewhere so they can get a search warrant and go in and get it. And this search warrant was bogus for more reasons than I can count.
Right.
But one of the ways to show that is to demonstrate that they didn't have any probable cause at all to think that there was any evidence of any crime. And so I filed a motion with the court to unseal the affidavit of probable cause to see what they were alleging was their justification for this warrant.
Right.
And the procedural thing isn't even particularly what I want to get into, but some of their comments, both in their written motion in opposition to mine and their comments in court, just amazed me that they would be so open about the problems they actually have with this. Their motion starts by saying that this is an investigation, quote, of a possible tax fraud scheme with nationwide implications, end quote.
Okay. Now,
first of all, calling this a tax fraud scheme is just so bogus.
Right.
This is, here's what I found in the law, here's what I think it means. How that can be a scheme is beyond me. I mean,
right.
Even if I was wrong, the worst it could be is a mistake.
Right.
And I know it's not even that. But for them to try to call it a tax fraud scheme is completely bogus. And if you think about what an affidavit of probable cause is, it would basically be the special agent in charge writing out the evidence that they have that show that I'm a nasty criminal. Now, don't you think that they'd love to publicize evidence showing that I'm a nasty criminal?
Right.
But instead, they cover it up, and the main reason, their first argument in court was, well, if we release this thing, it has identities of other people who may be cooperating with the government or other people who might be investigated or things like that.
Right.
And I immediately suggested to the judge, well, just redact that stuff.
Right.
Take it out. I don't need that in there. And the judge said, oh, that's very reasonable, and then didn't do it.
Right.
But as soon as I suggested that, and their whole argument was, we can't reveal those identities, fine, redact them, black them out.
Right.
Suddenly he stands up, the DOJ attorney stands up, we have a different argument now. Now he's going to use it for propaganda purposes if we release this. Now, get that. They have a document which they allege shows that I'm a criminal.
Right.
And they can't stand to have me make that public.
Right.
I mean, how often do you hear a criminal say, I want to show the world the evidence that the government has that shows that I'm a criminal?
Right.
And they're the ones trying to cover it up, and I'm the one trying to expose it. And in their motion, they even mention the letter-writing campaigns. And they mention the fact that they're scared to death that I'm going to publicize what they're doing.
Right.
And generally speaking, who's the one who usually hides? The criminal or the good guy?
Well, in this case, I think the criminal is hiding again.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's such a dead giveaway that they're just coming out and admitting, this can't be made public. This can't be made
right.
public. It'll get in the way of us doing what we do.
Right.
It'll get in the way of them doing what they do to release information that they say proves that I'm doing nasty, horrible, illegal things.
Right.
It's just so backwards, but I found it interesting that they're actually admitting now that the reason they want it sealed is to keep it from the public.
Right.
Because they're scared to death of what it does to them if you can see what they thought was their excuse to break in and steal 200 videos.
Right. So let's just recap for people, Larkin. In order to search someone's home, according to the Constitution, someone has to provide what is called probable cause. In the case of obtaining the search warrant to do the raid on your home and Dr. Tom Clayton's last May, they provided evidence, allegedly, but then it's been sealed. And so you were trying to unseal that, and they at first objected, saying, well, we don't want to unseal that because that'll reveal names of people who are perhaps cooperating with the government or potential other people that they want to investigate. And then when you say, no, okay, redact those, black out all those names, just show me the substance of why you want to do it, they refuse, saying, no, you'll publicize it, as if that is somehow wrong. That's the whole point of having search warrants that have to be signed. We don't want things to be done in secret. The whole point of having oversight, as I understand it, and I'm not an attorney, Larkin, is so that people of agencies in the government won't run around, you know, breaking into people's homes under the guise that they want to get something for which they don't have justification.
They even said, well, he'll release it publicly, and the judge said, which he has every right to do.
Right. And then they failed to release it, right?
So, and the judge still decided, I think she decided before it ever was in her courtroom, the IRS got to her and told her, you can't unseal this.
Right.
Because those were the only two arguments. I blew one out of the water, and she blew the other one out of the water, and then decided to keep it secret anyway.
Right. But this just goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen, because Larkin and I were both present at the Dixon-Canaan trial back in early January. Larkin was a witness, and I was just in the audience. I was there for the entire trial. And now it's my understanding that the government won't release fully the transcripts of that trial publicly.
Right.
They're keeping that under lock and key, and at least certain portions of it. And let me just tell people also, I was present in that trial. I heard David Jarvis, Assistant United States Attorney, that is the prosecuting attorney, who was prosecuting Dixon Canaan for 31 alleged violations of tax crimes. He stood up, ladies and gentlemen, in open court and said, quote, I object to quoting from the law, unquote. This is what your government officials are doing. They're standing in open court and saying, I object to quoting from the law.
It's absurd. And they did that on cross-examination of the government witnesses, too.
Absolutely. Repeatedly.
Where the defense attorney wanted to ask the government witnesses about how they concluded that, you know, based on the law, that he was supposed to withhold or supposed to file returns or whatever. And every time the government objected.
Right.
You can't be asking them that.
Right.
And again, it just comes back to the theme of why, you know, this is public law that we're all supposed to know, we're all supposed to comply with.
Right.
And they object to it being brought up in a court of law.
Right.
What do you bring up in a court of law if you're not allowed to bring up the law?
Right. Well, obviously in the case of the Department of Justice, they got a conviction of Dixon Canaan by carefully narrowing the scope of discussion so that only those things that are condemning of him could be brought out and nothing exculpatory could be brought out. And in particular, every time Arch McCall, and you weren't there all those times because you were excluded from being present because you were a witness,
right.
Every time Arch McCall got up and tried to recite even a portion of the law and ask anybody, whether a defense witness or a prosecution witness, you know, what that means or something, he was cut off in mid-sentence by the judge or by Jarvis objecting and the judge reflexively sustaining it.
Right. And just aside from the particular case, you know, which were there was a parade of violation of due process through the whole case, you know, beginning to end. The two grand juries that didn't indict, so they kept trying over and over again. They refused to let him talk to the third grand jury, which is how they got an indictment, basically by intentionally suppressing exculpatory evidence. But aside from, you know, all the details of that particular case, which just make it so bogus, is the very idea that this law that 100 million Americans are expected to know, the income tax laws, that's about how many people file federal income tax returns. Obviously, if you're going to put a number on the bottom and sign swearing that it's correct, you better know how the law applies.
Right.
And this obvious nationwide pattern of the courts and the IRS to refuse to talk about how the law actually applies just makes it absurd that we're not going to tell you how it applies. We're not even going to tell you what our own position is. We're going to object if you bring it up.
Right.
If you bring it up and tell other people about it, we'll do an armed invasion of your house. We'll try to shut down your website. We'll steal your videos. I mean, imagine, and it's pretty easy to imagine for most of you probably, imagine that Peter and I are wrong. We've missed something or we're misreading something.
Right.
And for those who really know the issue in detail, you know, they know that that isn't the case. But let's pretend we just blew it. We missed some citation or something. Even then, isn't the proper response to say, sure, we can discuss the law anytime you want, anywhere you want. It's public law.
Right.
It's our responsibility to tell you how it applies so you can comply with it.
Right.
And, you know, that's how you treat people who even make a mistake. And they just, they don't. And they haven't for years. And it's just, it's making more and more people really suspicious to see that they don't respond as if we're wrong. They respond as if they're the criminals, because
right.
they are.
Right. We're due here for a break, Larkin, but you just made me think of something, and I've told you about that, but let me tell my listeners. I recently got a form letter from the IRS, and it didn't specify any year, and it said, "Dear taxpayer," and basically it said, "We're not going to respond to future discussion about this issue," and so forth. Well, I hadn't written to the IRS about anything recently, and I couldn't imagine what prompted the letter. And then I remembered that I had written to Mark Everson, the commissioner of the IRS, as well as Pam Olson, the assistant secretary of the Treasury for tax policy, and the secretary of the Treasury. It's on the tip of my tongue, Larkin.
Snow,
yeah. And I asked them all to come on the show, not to answer the six questions, and I simply stated in my letter, "I've had a number of guests on saying that most Americans don't owe federal income tax. I would like you to come on and give your side of it." And the woman on the phone, whom I was talking to from the IRS, ladies and gentlemen, told me that what probably generated the letter was these, quote, frivolous invitations. So now my request to have their top officials come on this show and give their side of it, and not even be narrowed to the discussion of the six questions, but simply talk and say what they want to say. Not only do I not hear from them, that apparently becomes the reason for generating a letter which has nothing to do with it. You know, it's just unbelievable.
What on earth does that mean?
Unbelievable. Well, let's take a quick break here, Larkin, and then we'll get back. This is the Peter Mac Show with my special guest, Larkin Rose. Stay tuned to KCXL Radio Free Liberty. We'll be back here in just a second.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. It's a beautiful day for labor. Would you be mine?
11:40 a.m.
Sleep deprivation doesn't mean you aren't sleeping, but the quality of your sleep is suffering. Waking periodically, experiencing restless movement, excessive snoring, nightmares, or needing medication to sleep, all are possible indicators of sleep deprivation, which affects our emotions, bringing pessimism, sadness, stress, and anger to our lives. This is Dr. Penny Montgomery, and I want you to know that sleep strengthens the organs and the immune system. It makes us well and keeps us well. This all-important sleep function is controlled by the brain, and if your brain waves aren't in balance, you can suffer sleep deprivation. A simple test can tell if better sleep is possible for you. If you feel you're not sleeping as well as you could, please call my office and ask for more information, or become a guest at our next sleep seminar.
Call Dr. Montgomery for a free information packet or for more information on the seminar at 816-94-12345. That's 816-94-12345.
Start spreading the news.
I'm David Barnes, president and founder of Business. We're a locally based business referral group, and we've got what Kansas City wants. Finest business owners and professionals in the city. These are people that do business with each other, and they want to do business with the public as well. BizNet works. But don't take my word for it. Here's one of our members.
This is David Williams from Williams Elkhound Ranch Kennels, a boarding, training, and grooming facility for dogs and cats and horses. We've been a member of BizNet for 4 months and have enjoyed 4 new customers, and I have done business with 17 members in the Gladstone Group.
For a directory of BizNet members, call 816-453-1361. That's 453-1361.
Happy Days Auto Repair and Towing salute the young people of our community who stand tall against peer pressure. Your strength is a prime example to others, so keep up the good work. Say yes to education. Yes to graduation. This message is from Les and the crew at Happy Days Auto Repair and Towing, located at 202 Chicago Avenue in Sibley. They welcome you to stop by or to call them at 816-650-3593. That's 816-650-3593. For your auto repairs or towing needs, Happy Days Auto Repair and Towing. They're proud to be a part of the community to make a difference.
KCXL Liberty.
Kansas City.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. I'm your host, Peter McCandless. Thanks for tuning in to KCXL Radio Free Liberty today, 1140 a.m. My special guest is Larkin Rose, and we're discussing just this several-year attempt to get the government to respond to very basic questions about how one determines one's taxable income and just the bizarre responses and non-responses we've got from the government. And before the break, I was alluding to a letter I'd gotten from Ogden, Utah, about the claim that I was making some frivolous argument and my attempt to try to connect the letter with whatever correspondence I'd done. And Larkin was able to pull out a transcript, right, Larkin, of somebody else who had called up Ogden, Utah in response to the same letter. Is that right?
Right. Someone sent me this transcript, and then they sent me a recording of the actual phone call. Unfortunately, the audio isn't quite good enough to play on the air here. Isn't audible enough.
Okay.
But this was in response to somebody calling up the Ogden office after getting that form letter, the form letter that doesn't even mention 861 or taxable income or gross income. It basically just insults the person and threatens them and say we won't respond to future correspondence.
Right.
And so the person calls up and finds out that the name on the form letter, he can't actually talk to that person. We don't even know if that person's real or not.
Right.
And then he explains that, well, I sent these questions about how to determine my taxable income and got this letter back that says the court's ruled against the arguments that I've made and that they won't respond to me further. And he says, quote, I didn't make any arguments. I just asked some simple questions about determining my taxable income. The IRS responds with, there's a pause for a while, and the person at the IRS responds with, okay, well, that is a frivolous action towards us, and we do not respond to any of those. And the guy, understandably dumbfounded, says, I'm sorry?
Right.
We do not respond to any of those letters. That's just the way it is. And he says, I don't understand. Isn't the IRS supposed to help me understand my tax obligations? And she says, well, in a way, yes. But so he asks, if I can't go to the IRS to understand what my tax obligations are, where am I supposed to go? Well, your tax obligations are, you make wages, you pay taxes, that's just the way it is. And it goes on for a little bit, I won't bother reading the whole thing, but he asks again, you know, he's bringing up these questions, well, I'm trying to find out how I determine it under the law, because there are specific sections of the law, you don't just wildly guess.
Right.
And the IRS ends up just saying, I'm not going to discuss the tax laws or the court rulings or anything like that with you. And the guy reasonably responds, well, somebody has to, and that's what the IRS is supposed to do. You're supposed to help me understand what I'm sending in and why I'm sending it in, right? And the IRS says, no, that's just the way things are. I'm sorry, but if you have any legitimate tax questions, then I'll continue the call. If not, then I'm going to disconnect. He says, this isn't a legitimate tax question. Goodbye, click.
Yeah.
And they hang up on him.
Right.
And just imagine any other agency doing that. I mean, if you run a restaurant or something and there's some weird, obscure thing about, you know, you have to have this many that's on this day and you call them up and try to find out the answer, they don't act like it's a secret what the law is.
Right.
They might not know. They might even get it wrong and they might go, huh, I don't know, and refer you somewhere else and they're not sure.
Right.
But that's not even how they respond here. It's not just incompetent. They are trained to run away from this issue.
Right.
And don't talk about it. We don't talk about the law. How do I know what I owe if you don't talk about the law?
Right.
And it's just, you know, more and more people, and including people who have no idea what the correct answers are sending in these questions because they want to know. They're not arguing anything. They don't even know which side they would argue.
Right.
And they don't know what the answers are. And for the IRS to be trained, and they've admitted, and I've seen the memos, and I've had IRS people admit that they are told not to talk about this issue at all.
Right.
And to be told to be an agency that administers a law and to be told you are not to discuss that part of the law with anybody. How bizarre is that?
Right. And Larkin, just to recap for our listeners, we have gone, you know, to the highest levels. We've gone to Mark Everson, the commissioner of the IRS, sent him 1,000 letters asking him to answer the six questions, which, again, ladies and gentlemen, are posted on my website, petermacshow.com, on the lower left side. If you want to see the questions, and you decide for yourself whether they're reasonable questions. And we sent them to Secretary of the Treasury Snow and Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Tax Policy Pam Olson. And, you know, it just goes on. Larkin, I was watching a video clip that somebody had sent me a link to the other day where Nina Olson, who is the president of the National Taxpayers Advocacy, if that's the correct title.
I think she's the actual taxpayer advocate.
Taxpayer advocate, right. And somebody called in and talked about the Sim Cannon trial just as a brief introduction and said, well, can you show me what section of the law makes me liable? And she said, these arguments are, you know, are frivolous or whatever. And, you know, it's like, what argument? We're just asking, can you show me what section makes me liable? They don't want to even address that question.
Right. And it's that loony knee-jerk response that's getting so many people's attention.
Right.
Like if you called up the you know, the ATF or something and said, you know, I import whiskey and I need to know what the tax is. That's frivolous, click.
Right.
What? They would never do that.
Right.
They would say, okay, we'll look that up and we'll fax it to you and, you know, we'll do whatever to make sure you understand the law.
Right.
Or at worst say, I'm not sure, we'll look into it or something.
Right.
But again, the IRS doesn't even do that. They know ahead of time that these questions are going to come up and they know not to talk about them.
Right. Well, and of course, go ahead.
These questions, again, if they go to your site and look at the questions, the six questions, you cannot, it is absolutely impossible for you to determine what you owe if you don't know what the answers to those questions are.
Right.
Because they are crucial, they are unavoidable to determining your taxable income, and you can't determine what you owe if you don't know what your taxable income is. And so they expect 100 million people to know how to do it, even though they vehemently refuse to tell them how to do it.
Right. And, of course, Larkin, it's not just the IRS that refuses at every level to address these questions. It's people in the private sector, namely H&R Block. And you recall about a year ago we sent one of those questions, I believe it's question number one, basically saying to use 861B and the related regulations to determine your client's taxable domestic income. And we had people around the United States send that one question and offering to pay to have that question answered to over 600 local H&R Block sites all around the country. None of them responded with anything substantively. The only response, in fact, that I heard of through you was one local H&R Block facility sending the question on to corporate headquarters, which we were already carbon copying anyway. And as you recall, Larkin, I called up H&R Block local headquarters, or their headquarters, I should say, here in Kansas City just about a year ago, and I was put in touch with a woman who identified herself as an attorney named Lois Gladstone, and she acknowledged that she had received those questions and so on, and I said, well, are you going to answer the question? She said, no. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, I'm not at liberty to say why not. So, you know, here you have H&R Block, who makes presumably millions of dollars determining people's taxable income, and they won't even answer a simple question of the form, do you use these sections to determine your client's taxable domestic income?
Right. When did it become a national secret
right.
about how we're supposed to figure out what we owe?
Right. But that's the way they act.
And you've seen... I know you've seen firsthand, Peter, and so have I, tax professionals who, one way or another, hear about this, and when the questions get to them, they just freak out.
Right.
Like, they know it's coming, and they, no matter how polite you are and reasonable and whether you know the answers or not, and,
right.
you know, I have a question about how I'm supposed to determine what I owe. This regulation says this. That's frivolous. Get away from me.
Right.
It's just, it's so weird. It's like going to some place with some... where there's some weird cult, and you want to ask about, you know, something about their beliefs, like, wait, you believe you all turn into purple turtles, is that right?
Right.
And they have this vicious response that has nothing to do with logic, nothing to do with evidence. If somebody came to me and asked me what really was a stupid question about something I know about, I might even say it's a stupid question and then show them why.
Right.
But to say that's frivolous and I'm not sure what the answer is, you know, that ought to tell you something.
Right. And those people who do bother to answer it, they're inconsistent. As you know, Larkin, I've had a sort of an ongoing dialogue with a tax attorney here in Kansas City by the name of Michael P. Dreiling, and he recently sent me a letter which he claims he wrote on May 1st, 2002. I never got it until it was sent as an email attachment on February 23rd, 2004, here just about 2 weeks ago, and I've now posted that on my website. But he was paid $180 almost 2 years ago to answer the three questions. He's now changed his mind and said that, okay, I was assuming something else. Now I'm assuming you're only talking about a taxpayer in the United States, living in the United States, an American citizen living and working solely in the United States. And he says for that taxpayer, he says, quote, in short, a United States citizen living in the United States and earning all his income within these United States may rely on IRC Section 61 for what constitutes taxable income and need not concern himself with subchapter N. Well, at least he's giving a response, Lark, and I think it's a provably false response, and I've written him back stating so. But at least he responded to that, whereas the IRS won't even respond.
Right, and the funny thing is, in his response, he also quoted the regulations proving himself wrong.
Exactly. He quoted that, so I've written him back. We'll see if we get any response out of him from that. But again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see the three questions I posed to Michael P. Dreiling way back in 2002, and his original response, and my response to that, and now his second letter, which he says was dated and written May 1st, 2002, I have now posted on my website at petermackshow.com, so you can see what he's written and decide for yourself. If you just stand back from this issue, as Larkin said many times, and say, who is it? Is it the people that are contending that the laws don't show most of our income to be taxable, or is it the other side who is running away from the questions generally, or giving various contradictory responses? Which side is doing that? And you make up your mind which side is doing that.
And it's not even, like, if you went up to someone on the street and asked the six questions, it would be completely justified saying, I don't know what you're talking about, I've never seen this before in my life.
Right.
But when you go to people whose job it is to understand the tax laws and figure out what you owe,
right,
to... and ask them questions about how to figure out what you owe,
right,
for them to get vicious about it,
right,
not even just, I don't know, I'll have to look that up, because that would be completely understandable.
Sure.
Even if I'm happy to give someone the benefit of the doubt if they say, I don't know, I've never seen that, let me look into it.
Right.
But for someone to come back with a floundering, self-contradictory response, or more often, no response at all, and then to get vicious at you, like, the vast majority of people listening right now, they aren't CPAs and they aren't tax attorneys, and neither am I, and neither is Peter.
Right.
And we don't, so we're not trained in this. We're, nobody would really expect us to know anything about it. CPAs and tax attorneys are supposed to know this stuff.
Right.
And if you go to them and they have this reaction, again, that by itself should tell you that something's hugely wrong here. It's like, whatever you specialize in, if someone comes to you and has a basic question about it, you ought to be able to answer, not get nasty with them.
Right.
Like, why the heck would you know, you the listener, what the tax laws say? How many people have time to rummage around the tax laws?
Right.
But if you go to someone whose job it is to do that, and they react with, that's frivolous, go away. Well, why do you even exist if your job is something that you refuse to talk about? You shouldn't be in business if you don't know how to determine my taxable income.
Right.
If your job is to determine my taxable income.
And, of course, even worse than that, Larkin, is when somebody like Dixon Kanan ends up in federal court charged with crimes, and his defense attorney is allowed to ask simple questions of either prosecution or defense witnesses. And let me give the audience just an example, because I actually told, as you may recall, Larkin, you may have gotten it from another source, but I actually told Arch McCall, who was Dixon Kanan's attorney, this particular quote from the Code of Federal Regulations, and I heard him try to ask this quote. Let me just read it for you, because again, ladies and gentlemen, we realize that most of you aren't CPAs or tax attorneys, but if you went to your tax attorney, the IRS much less, and said, particularly if you had a corporation in this place, listen to this quote. This is from 26 CFR section 1.312-6, earnings and profits, and paragraph B begins as follows, quote, among the items entering into the computation of corporate earnings and profits for a particular period are all income exempted by statute, comma, income not taxable by the federal government under the Constitution, comma, as well as all items includable in gross income under Section 61 or corresponding provisions of prior revenue acts. Now, wouldn't it be reasonable to go to your tax professional and say, what is that section that's referring to income not taxable by the federal government? What is that referring to? And get some kind of response from them, some kind of response based upon the law. But we don't get that, do we, Larkin?
Right. No. And in fact, we don't even just get, I don't know, I'll look into it, which, again, would be reasonable. Because if there's this category of income that is obviously exempt because of the Constitution itself. Do I have some? Do you have some? Do you, the listener, have some? How on earth would you know unless the law tells you?
Right.
Well, you don't know the law, so you go to a tax professional and say, well, there's this kind of income exempted by the Constitution. I want to know if any of mine fits that category, because
right.
I don't want to pay taxes on something that's not taxable.
Right. We're due for a break here, Larkin, but let me just sneak this in. Remember what that person said. Larkin was reciting some dialogue between a person who called into the Ogden IRS office and the person on the other end, and correct me if I'm wrong, Larkin, that is the IRS official was saying, if you have wages, you have income. And it's taxable, right?
Right, yeah.
And this is in direct contradiction to that statement, and I'm quoted from the law, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, the IRS is covering something up. Stay tuned. This is the Peter Mac Show. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes with Larkin Rose, and we'll continue this discussion.
Storm season is now upon us. Don't be left in the dark. KCXL has the last of the Coleman Lightning generators, the same ones that Chuck Carter advertised for $369 plus shipping. The Coleman Lightning generator has a 2-horsepower Tecumseh 2-cycle engine, on-off switch, 115-volt AC duplex outlet providing 800 watts of power. It will also jumpstart or charge your toughest battery. It weighs only 16 pounds and comes with an automotive-style jumper cables and a carrying strap. There are many advantages to owning a small unit like the Coleman Lightning, even if you already have a larger generator. You won't have to waste gas or electricity to run just one thing. It's a great item to have when the sun isn't shining and you need to charge your battery bank. You can carry this unit where an extension cord won't reach. There are many reasons to own a Coleman Lightning generator, so get one while you can. These are the last of this model. It retails for $349 with no shipping. Just drop by the bookstore and pick one up. The Coleman Lightning generator. Don't be left in the dark.
This Monday, March 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Johnson County Central Resource Library, the Constitution and Freedom Society of Johnson County will show Alex Jones's video, 911 Road to Tyranny. Again, that's this Monday, March 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Johnson County Central Resource Library, and that's at 9875 West 87th Street in Overland Park. And if you need any more information, you can call the KCXL Bookstore at 816-836-7474.
Oh, what a day.
You just spent 8 hours working, commuted for 2 hours in each direction, dealt with the boss, averted a major crisis, grabbed a quick bite for lunch, and now you're home and all you want to do is relax with your paper and slippers.
Yeah.
But wait, your spouse needs help around the house, your kids need help with their homework, and the paper and slippers you were so looking forward to, well, I won't tell you what the dog did to them. All you have the energy for now is to climb into bed and start all over tomorrow. Why not try the Pig Pack from American Longevity? You can feed your body every nutrient it needs for maximum energy levels, and at $4.50 a day, your energy levels will skyrocket while keeping your finances firmly planted in your wallet.
For more information, contact the bookstore at 836-7474 or Vern at KCXL 792-1140.
This Saturday, March 13th at the Liberty High School, and that's at 200 Bouger Drive, the Parent and Child University. 8 to 9 is breakfast and registration. 9 to 9:30, storytelling with Steve Otto. 9:30 to 11:30, family activities. And 11:30 to noon, interactive music with Dino Odell. Parents and students ages 2 to 12 can participate. So come on out, Liberty High School, 200 Bouger Drive, this Saturday, March 13th, from 8 a.m. to noon, to Parent and Child University.
KCXL Liberty.
There's nothing we can do but keep our ears open.
AM 1140.
Welcome back. back to the Peter Mac Show. I'm your host, Peter McCandless. Thanks for tuning in to KCXL Radio Free Liberty, 1140 a.m. today, March 12th. My special guest on the line with me today is Larkin Rose, the most frequent guest I've had, because this fraud of the federal income tax is something that he and I and countless other people who have very silent and behind-the-curtains roles, so to speak, are working to expose this. And finally, we think we have a vehicle that's gonna do that, finally bring this thing to the point where enough Americans will understand just what has happened in the last 8 decades via the income tax and its misrepresentation to you. You want to talk about that, Larkin?
Sure. And for so long, the issue has basically been getting the interest of people who go out of their way to look into it, like myself and Peter and thousands of others, tens of thousands of others, but still mainstream America hasn't heard of this for the most part. It'll show up in some little peep in a mainstream media story that does a really bad job of even representing what it is and mainly just echoes, you know, some government official saying nasty things about us, and that's, you know, that's their in-depth reporting.
Right.
Is to quote some government official saying, oh, it's frivolous.
Right.
You know, move on to the next story. But now we are about to have an expose on the issue that is not overly technical. It doesn't put people to sleep, or it doesn't require that much concentration or study. And, you know, I know for myself and for Peter and for a lot of others, we've dug into the tax laws themselves for hours and hours and hours and hours to make sure that we're getting it right. We're not missing anything. But most people don't have the time and desire to do that. But we're about to have a vehicle that will get to mainstream America. They can see the issue. They can get enough of the legal issue to understand what it's about. And perhaps more importantly, they can see how loony the government's response has become. And they can see CPAs and attorneys saying, yes, the law really does say this. And yes, the government really has responded that way. And we are coming out with a little, mostly it'll be distributed on mini disc, a little miniature CD that'll play in any computer CD-ROM drive. And it looks like the initial printing of these things now will be 250,000 copies that
Wow.
will be handed out for free all over the place.
Right.
And once it's finished, which we hope will just be a couple weeks, it'll take a little bit to print it, so maybe a few weeks, it will be, with any luck, it will be before April 15th that this thing is getting out there. But anyone who wants one can request one, and we'll send them one. And finally, this issue will be really easy to get in front of a whole lot of people, because even with the websites and with the Theft by Deception video and a lot of stuff that I've worked on and other people have worked on that I'm proud of and think is good stuff, but it just isn't getting to mainstream America, well, this is going to get there.
Right.
This will make national news. This will be completely unavoidable. And the government's, I guess, the six-year effort now to shut this thing up will have failed, absolutely. Everyone will know 861.
Exactly. And just to let folks know that when you finally get to see this video thing, you're going to see folks who are credentialed. Larkin and I have, as we said, you know, no particular credentials, CPA, lawyer, anything like that. We just have this obsessive drive to understand exactly what the law requires with respect to, you know, the federal income tax laws. But you will see a host of people on this mini CD who are attorneys, who are CPAs. Even one gentleman who's written legislation, and we'll talk about it. And you will see people with, you know, irrefutable credentials, or, you know, I mean, very strong credentials, I should say, who are saying just what we're saying, that the American people have been totally misled and ripped off by the Internal Revenue Service, and they are not only ripping you off, they are trying in every way possible to keep you from finding out.
Right, and you'll also see why you haven't heard about it sooner.
Right.
And the efforts that the government has made to silence this issue.
Right.
And a lot of people are going to find it really disturbing when they find out what the government's been doing about this.
Right.
You know, even if somebody came up with some incorrect argument, this is not how a government in a free country functions.
Exactly.
And when people see that, they're going to know dang well that the government is doing this because something is huge and fishy, and it's about to be uncovered, and they do not want it uncovered, but it's going to be anyway.
Right. And Larkin, is it premature to tell them how they will be able to get a hold of that mini CD at this point?
For now, in case any plans change, I would say for now, keep an eye on taxableincome.net, because whatever is out and whenever it's out, that website will point you where to look to get. All you have to do is send an address, and we'll send you a free disc. It doesn't. A lot of people will be buying them in bulk and handing them out. They cost like 30 cents a piece. So we'll be handing them out all over the place. But anybody who just writes in and wants a copy, we send them one for free.
Right. And in fact, we're taking pre-orders for the mini CD now. So if you've got a pen and paper and you want to write down this address quickly, you can send in your money for a pre-order. Again, as Larkin has said, we don't quite have it finished, but we are taking pre-orders because we think that there will be a massive demand for these, and also, frankly, because we need some money up front to pay the down payment on the first quarter of a million copies, and that's just the first wave that we want to produce. Right, Larkin?
Right, absolutely.
So the address is www.861.info. I'll repeat that, www.861.info, P.O. Box 25185. Kansas City, Missouri, 64119. Now, we're selling those in groups basically 100, 300, or 1,000. An order of 100 is $45, an order of 300 is $120, and an order of 1,000 is $320. So if you send a check to www.861info to that address, that is, again, P.O. Box 25185, Kansas City, Missouri, 64119, then you will, as soon as that's done, you will receive your package of 100, 300, or 1,000 of these mini CDs that we hope you will pass out to everybody you know.
Yep, and we know we already have enough funding to print about 200,000, and it keeps rolling in. So this is
right.
The first printing is going to be huge, and the second one is going to be bigger. And this
right.
is going to very quickly spread to the whole country, and it isn't going to be a secret anymore.
Right. And for those folks that think, you know, because I know it's hard for them to get out. In fact, I had a discussion, Larkin, the other night in the class I taught when I mentioned this issue at the beginning of the 8-week course. And at the end of the 8-week course, I spoke to a fellow and I said, so you still think I'm a tax protester? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what is it that you think I'm protesting against? I'm just calling people's attention to what the law actually says. And in fact, inviting every conceivable person from the government or the private sector that I have time and energy to contact to show me that I'm wrong. And of course, he had no response for that, because I'm not protesting the law. You're not protesting the law. We're just simply trying to get people to wake up and understand what the law is, how it's been misrepresented to them intentionally, and therefore to force the government to correct the fraud.
Right. And when people see this thing, they're going to know that, finally, they're going to know that we're not just sort of searching for some loophole to get out of paying what we owe. This
right.
is a fundamental question about whether the government is defrauding 100 million Americans every year of about $1 trillion. It's not a loophole or a trick or, hey, I can get out of paying what I owe by doing this. This is your government defrauding you? And a lot of people don't want to know if that's the case, but they're going to know anyway.
Okay, Larkin, we got just about 3 minutes. You want to take a caller?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Vaughn?
Oh.
Vaughn?
Hello.
You're on the Peter Mac Show.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You're talking about the voluntary tax compliance with the IRS. Is that what it is?
No.
You're talking about that you don't have to pay taxes. It's a voluntary thing?
No.
No. The law, here's one problem, is there are countless theories and arguments out there that have a similar sounding punchline, and so people get confused. One is that the law is voluntary. Nowhere does the law say it's voluntary. It never has. The IRS's rhetoric says that every once in a while. They refer to voluntary compliance, which is sort of Orwellian nonsense, because if you don't volunteer to do this, we hurt you.
Yeah, how can a tax be voluntary?
Well, I actually used to work for the IRS, and there is something in the mission statement that states the fact of of collecting the tax voluntarily.
That just means you voluntarily assess yourself.
Okay, I thought the CD that you were sending out, I just tuned in, I figured the CD you were sending out had something to do with voluntary compliance, because if we know the laws well enough, you can say, well, I volunteer not to pay it. But then if everybody volunteers not to pay it, they'll invent a new form of tax collection.
The closest way it can be linked to that is to say, if you don't have taxable income according to the law, I'm sure the government won't mind you voluntarily handing over money you don't owe. But the real crux of the matter is what the law actually says is taxable and what it doesn't. And if your income doesn't show up as taxable, it isn't even about volunteering so much as your return is incorrect if there's anything other than a zero at the bottom of it. If you really have zero taxable income and you're swearing on a return that you have something else, it's actually wrong. Rather than
somebody
just...
Somebody else told me that same trick. But if everybody finds that out, then they'll come up with a value-added tax or some other way of collecting the money.
Are you suggesting, Vaughn, therefore, that we shouldn't expose the fraud?
Well, where is the fraud? I mean...
The fraud is that the government is telling people they owe money that is inconsistent with what their own laws say. That is the fraud.
Right, it's a voluntary thing. But
voluntary, Vaughn. The tax is written into the laws. The laws are being misrepresented. It's not voluntary.
Well, when I drive down the street and it's nice and new and stuff, I feel, proud when I pay my taxes.
You feel what?
Proud. When I pay a tax, I feel like I'm contributing to something,
That's fine. You can contribute to something, but you feel like American citizens should be misled about what their obligation actually is.
No.
Well, right. that's all we're trying to expose, Vaughn.
This is the important clarification. It's one thing to be proud to pay the taxes that you owe to get what you want.
Right.
And, there can be philosophical arguments about how much that should be, but who's going to say, I'm proud to get defrauded?
Right.
Nobody. And that's what's happening.
We got to go here, gentlemen. I'm sorry, but thanks for calling in, Vaughn, but Larkin will have you on again as soon as we can, and hopefully people will start purchasing the mini-CD. Thanks for tuning in to the Peter Mac Show. I'll be back next week with Andrew Bernstein.